3257, and remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday morning. It's March 13th, 2018. Good to be with you. And do hope you can stay tuned. We have another dynamic show for you today. Well, we have that every day because we have a great producer. And God always gives us great story ideas. I always say God's our executive producer. We are going to be talking with Father Bill Casey, a dynamic priest. Of course, you know him well from his work at EWTN. A beautiful book. And, okay, I know you're going to say, well, 40 meditations to prepare you for the Church's holiest season. Why are we talking about that now? Because we are still in Lent. And some of us, speaking from personal experience, may not be having the greatest Lent and may have fallen off the wagon once or twice or three or four times, might I say. That's why I'm going to see my spiritual director very soon again. We can still try and make a holy Lent for the rest of it. So we'll get some ideas from Father Bill and his new book, Making a Holy Lent. And then, very excited to have someone that I know well and just think so highly of him and the great work he does in my archdiocese, at the Archdiocese of Detroit, Dr. Mark Latkovic. And he's going to be joining me to talk about the Church's teaching regarding reproductive technology. If you remember yesterday, I was talking at the top of the hour about all the problems that come with when we try to play God and control life. And we're seeing very tragic examples of that with the horrendous situation at two, not just one in Cleveland, but there's one in San Francisco. So two in recent weeks where thousands of embryos have been lost because of some sort of malfunction. All right. And in addition to this, there are a whole host of other issues that the Church raises that very few people understand, bother to find out about, bother to read. They just jump to conclusions that the Church is being insensitive when it comes to couples wanting to have children. That's not the case. The Church is actually being very sensitive because the Church always has yours and my best interest in mind. God loves us. He has a plan for us, and His plan is the best plan. But so often we refuse to even look at it because it doesn't fit into our agenda. Again, speaking from personal experience, did that for many years. God is my co-pilot. Probably one of the most arrogant bumper magnets ever. God is my co-pilot, really? The Alpha and the Omega, as I always say at my talks when I give my testimony, because I thought those bumper magnets were very cool. Yeah, God's my co-pilot. When I need a little bit of help, when I want to check in, maybe He can take over the wheel temporarily when I get busy or sidetracked. But in the meantime, I'm driving this bus. Yeah, well, that's when we get into all kinds of problems. All right? So we keep our eyes on Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, and we know that the fullness of faith in Jesus is found in the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. And we learn more from great teachers like Dr. Mark Latkovic, and he is from Sacred Heart Major Seminary in my Archdiocese of Detroit. He'll join us at 39 minutes past the hour and take your questions. Just for a refresher, and we'll probably play one of the news stories. I pulled a few clips from some of the secular stations, and it's really interesting to listen to the way the media are covering this. The only thing they're looking at is the emotional perspective from, obviously, the parents who are involved here are very upset, and for good reason. But they're not looking at the big picture. They're looking at, oh, what can we do to maybe prevent this from happening again? And nothing they can do is going to assure that all of this is going to go perfectly every single time. But that's not the point. The point is you don't even go down that road in the first place. Anyway, a number of reasons why the Catholic Church, this is from my newscast yesterday, teaches what she teaches and why in vitro fertilization is immoral. But a shocking story out of Cleveland, and now, as I just said, out of San Francisco, highlights a timeless teaching. There is now a major lawsuit being filed by couples with frozen embryos at university hospitals in Cleveland, and they're preparing to go to court. Attorneys for the Ashes say they're filing this lawsuit against the hospital. The officials say more than 2,000 eggs and embryos in their fertility lab were destroyed last week when a liquid nitrogen tank failed. Similar situation occurred in San Francisco. And then I gave you paragraph 2377. And by the way, I have some articles on this posted on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Mrs. Teresa Tomeo. This is paragraph 2377 of the Catholic Catechism. The act which brings a child into existence is no longer an act by which two persons give themselves to one another, but that entrusts the life and identity of the embryo into the power of doctors and biologists and establishes a domination of technology over the origin and destiny of the human person. And it goes on to talk about this moral aspect of procreation in more details, but we'll get into this with Dr. Mark Lakovic, and we'll take your calls and your questions. And also, what does the Church offer in terms of couples who are struggling with infertility? You may be surprised at all the resources. We're also going to be tackling this on our next Catholic View for Women's Season when we tape again in September. So always more to learn about our beautiful Catholic faith. Right now, 5 minutes past the hour, it's a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection from Coast to Coast. Teresa Tomeo with you. Let's get to the news, and then we'll take a quick break and talk about making a Holy Lent with Father Bill Casey. Well, in Ireland, the Save the Eighth movement saying its campaign energized and motivated by the huge attendance at a rally for life in Dublin, which saw up to 100,000 folks take to the streets to reject the government's plan for a UK-style abortion regime in Ireland. The rally heard from a range of speakers from diverse backgrounds, including doctors, mothers, folks with disabilities, and political figures. The Eighth Amendment of the Constitution of Ireland, by the way, recognized the equal right of the mother and the unborn child, effectively banning abortion in Ireland. In his prayer for the intention or prayer intentions of the month of March, the Holy Father is saying, let us pray together. The Church may appreciate the urgency of formation in its spiritual discernment, both on personal and communitarian levels. It has become custom for the Holy Father to release a video message detailing his new prayer intention each month. He said, the times in which we live demand that we develop a profound capacity of discernment, to discern from among all the voices we hear, which is the Lord's voice, which is the voice of him who guides us to the resurrection of life and the voice that frees us from falling into the culture of death. Every Christian ought to grow in the ability to read within his or her life and to understand where and to what he or she is being called by the Lord in order to carry out his mission. Let us pray together, the Holy Father said. Church may appreciate the urgency of formation and spiritual discernment, both on the personal and communitarian levels. And by the way, 5 years have gone by already since March 13, 2013, when the cardinal from Argentina was elected the successor of Peter. An event hosted by the University of Cincinnati on faith in the LGBT community has dropped Catholicism from its label after the bishop sent an email to all diocesan priests and deacons reiterating the event did not have diocesan approval. The event was originally titled, according to EWTNnews.com, Building Bridges, a Dialogue on Faith, Catholicism, and the LGBTQ Community. But the Archbishop of Cincinnati, Dennis Schnur, is saying, to be very clear, despite its billing, the event is in no way sponsored by, sanctioned by, or associated with the Catholic Church. He said, in fact, one of the speakers has been ordered not to speak on behalf of the Church in the U.S. due to the grave error of her teaching. And by the way, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, after receiving numerous complaints about Sister Jeanine Grammy, conducted an investigation into her teachings and work, and back in 1999 found them to be unacceptable according to the doctrine because they do not faithfully, as EWTNnews.com explains, convey the clear and constant teaching of the Catholic Church in this area. In other news, out east, here we go again. The Northeast is in the crosshairs of yet another nor'easter that's expected to slam the region with, yes, you guessed it, snow, ice, and heavy winds. The third major winter storm to hit the area in 2 weeks. Meteorologist Bill Caron says New England will likely see the worst of it.
Once you get from Hartford all the way through Providence, Boston, the Cape, this is where it's an all-out snowstorm today. 12 to 18 inches of snow in Boston. Somewhere south of Boston, down near North Plymouth, could easily get 20 inches of snow today.
As the storm moves up the coast, upstate New York and eastern Long Island could see at least 6 inches of snow. New Jersey up through New England could get hit with near blizzard conditions. 55-mile-per-hour wind gusts in southern Maine, 18 inches by tomorrow. And you guessed it, airlines already canceling more than 1,000 flights. The hardest hit was Boston. About half of today's flights already canceled. Blizzard conditions could tear into Rhode Island, eastern Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine. Winds 40 to 50 miles an hour along the coast, combined with heavy, wet snow, posing a serious risk of power outages. Carl Stevens, meanwhile, a reporter who's covering this big nor'easter, caught up with some folks at a donut shop in Massachusetts for their take on the forecast.
You tired of it yet?
Yeah, I'm definitely tired of it.
I get paid to go out and plow it, so I don't mind it too much.
I love it. That's what I'm here. That's why we're in Boston. We love the weather. We don't know. Tomorrow could be 70 degrees.
Well, there you go, a positive attitude. It's all how you look at things, right? Well, Boston is expecting, again, up to a foot of snow in Cape Cod. Might even get more. So be careful out there if you're listening to us on the East Coast. In other news this morning, authorities in Texas believe three package bombings are indeed related.
We do not have a specific victimology or ideology that we have identified. So assigning a motive to this at this point, we're not possible to do that based on the stage that we're at in the investigation.
That's Austin's police chief, Brian Manley, who says there is evidence suggesting the same person sent the parcel bombs, including two that exploded today, the third explosion happening earlier this month. Two people are dead, two others seriously hurt. A motive has not been determined. The FBI and the ATF are involved in that investigation. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders is explaining the new White House proposal on curbing gun violence.
We will ensure our schools are safe and secure, just like our airports, stadiums, and government buildings. Second, strengthening background checks and prevention. Third, reforming mental health programs.
In a briefing yesterday, Sanders rejecting suggestions that President Trump has backed away from raising age limits on gun purchases. Sanders saying the entire issue of reducing gun violence is still being reviewed and studied. She also suggested there's not enough support in Congress on raising age limits. Meanwhile, a Florida judge is ordering the release of video from the Parkland school shooting. The video captured in the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School surveillance camera system. That video supposed to show the former deputy who did not go inside the building where the shooting was taking place. Prosecutors didn't want the video to be released over concerns how it might hurt the investigation into shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz. A judge disagreed and sided with media organizations who said the public had a right to see how government officials reacted to the shooting. The judge stayed that decision until later this week to allow time for appeal. Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee say their investigation found no evidence of collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign during the 2016 presidential election. Texas Congressman Mike Conway saying the committee's Republican majority prepared a 150-page report for Democrats on the committee to review. It's expected to be handed over today. And the Trump administration, as Mark Mayfield reports, finishing up its Mideast peace plan.
Citing multiple unidentified sources, the New York Times reports the White House intends to make the plan public before too long. The report says administration officials are trying to figure out how to put it forward so it's not rejected immediately by the Palestinians. The sources tell the Times the plan doesn't designate a two-state solution and doesn't call for a fair and just solution for Palestinian refugees, but does offer suggestions. The administration sources tell the paper the plan proposes solutions to borders, security, refugees, and the status of Jerusalem, all key disputes.
Arizona's U.S. Senator Jeff Flake has introduced legislation to rescind the recently announced tariffs on steel and aluminum.
These tariffs will do just what tariffs have always done. It will lead to job losses and will stymie economic growth. What's worse, the president's attempt at flexibility in the form of poorly defined exemptions only serves to harm the economy further by creating uncertainty.
Flake saying he won't back any exemptions proposed by the administration. He admits it will be a long shot to get the votes needed to block the tariffs, but he says he has to do something. In a closely watched congressional election happening in Pennsylvania today, Republican candidate Rich Saccone finding himself in a tight race against Democrat Connor Lamb. Saccone speaking at a rally last night, expressing some very strong concerns about his opponent and the impact he would have.
And they have a hatred for our president. I tell you, many of them have a hatred for our country. And I'll tell you some more. My wife and I saw it again today. They have a hatred for God. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
President Trump campaigning for Saccone on Saturday night. Donald Trump Jr. did the same yesterday. Trump winning the Pittsburgh area district by a wide margin in the 2016 presidential election. But Democrats are hoping a surge of anti-Trump votes will put Lamb over the top. The 18th congressional district seat is often open, is open after the resignation of veteran Republican Congressman Tim Murphy. He stepped down because of a sex scandal. And finally, in our news segment at 14 minutes past the hour on a Tuesday morning, March 13th, Some good news from the business area. The people who own and run America's small businesses say they're more optimistic than they've been in, guess what, 35 years. This morning, Small Business Optimism Index showing the indicator hit its second highest level ever last month. The index for February is just a whisker below the all-time reading set back in 1983. It's been on a tear since Congress passed sweeping tax cuts back in December. The National Federation of Independent Businesses says small business owners are very encouraged by the Trump administration's economic policies. 15 minutes past the hour. It is a Tuesday morning, March 13th, 2018. Good to be with you. Phone lines are open if you have a question about how to maybe get back on track if you're like me and fallen off the Holy Lent wagon a little bit here and there. We all do it occasionally. That's why we have confession and good spiritual directors and good books like this one, Making a Holy Lent, 40 Meditations to Prepare You for the Church's Holiest Season. Father William Casey up next with his book. And again, if you have a question, 877-573-7825, or maybe you would just like to share on how your Lent has been going and what you're doing to make your Lent a holy one. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back. Andrew, hang on a second. I've got a guy.
Visit cmfcuro.com. CMF Curo. It's my Catholic health care.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
From Affirm Films, the studio that brought you Risen and War Room, comes Paul, Apostle of Christ. Two men challenged an empire in order to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ and spread their message to the world.
Where sin abounds, grace abounds more.
Starring Jim Caviezel. Paul, Apostle of Christ, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters March 23rd. More information is available at paulmovie.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
March 14th, the very day Red Rose rescuers are sentenced for their defense of the unborn. Let us stand for life. Join the pro-life pickets March 14th. Picket the Women's Center in West Bloomfield and Northland Family Planning in Sterling Heights, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Support the pro-lifers who will be sentenced that day, but it's most important to show the world human life is sacred. For all the details, see ProLifeSociety.com.
Hope you're having a blessed Tuesday morning. It's Tuesday, March 13, 2018, and it's great to be able to tap into the wisdom and the guidance of so many great priests that work with us at EWTN, including our guest, Father William Casey. And you know Father Casey, he is a East Coast boy, native of Philadelphia, 1979 graduate of Temple, and after graduating from college, serving as an officer in the U.S. Army. Upon leaving the Army, he entered the Congregation of the Fathers of Mercy and studying philosophy at Christendom College, a great school, and theology at Holy Apostles Seminary, ordained to the priesthood back in 1991. And, of course, you see him on EWTN and hear him on EWTN, and his latest book is Making a Holy Lent, 40 Meditations to Prepare You for the Church's Holiest Season. Father, happy Lent to you, my friend. How are you?
Thank you, Teresa. Doing fine.
All right, so here we are. We have some time left in Lent, and some people are saying, well, what do I need 40 meditations for when Lent is half over? And my point this morning was, well, double up on the meditations, which certainly cannot hurt. And secondly, it's always a good time when we're in the middle of Lent to kind of take stock, is it not?
Absolutely, and it's never too late to do that, you know, and we're still in the fourth week of Lent, and there's plenty of time. And sometimes making a holy land can be essentially just making a good, thorough, heartfelt examination of conscience and a sincere confession. Doesn't take long at all, right?
Mm-hmm. Do we get caught up too much sometimes in doing or giving something up and not on more the spiritual aspect of it?
Yes, that's very true. And, of course, during the season of Lent, the Church calls us to do far more than just that. You know, Lent is the season of the year when the Church calls on us in a special way to prepare our hearts and purify our souls so we can be ready to celebrate and commemorate the greatest events in all of human history. So it's not just a matter of giving things up. Much more importantly, it is a time to get closer to God, right? To deepen mm-hmm. your life of prayer, to focus and refocus, if need be, on the things that are truly most important in life, what we can call the fundamental facts of our existence, right? So, you know, ultimately, it's about our relationship with God, deepening that, strengthening that, not being content with spiritual mediocrity, but truly striving for holiness of life. That's what it's all about.
And so from where and from whom, should I say, in terms of various sources, do you draw upon for the meditations, Father, in your book, Making a Holy Lent?
Well, it's interesting, Teresa, that coming up with a book really wasn't my idea. It was the idea of our friends at EWTN Publishing, Devin Jones, Taylor Hancock, and Brandon McGinley. And essentially, the book is just a collection from the transcripts of the talks that I have given in the Lenten Mission series that I've given for EWTN, the three of them I've given over the years, bringing them together in the form of 40 different Lenten meditations. But it really is not much different than the parish missions that I'm giving during Lent. And I think it's a great thing because, the people that I can't reach through my missions, we can reach
right.
through the book.
I'm somewhat old school, and you and I are about the same age. I graduated from college in 1981. You graduated in 79, so we're in that same age range, I'm assuming. And I still like to have a book in my hand. I still like to have my hard copy Magnificat, even though you can get the readings anywhere online on your cell phone. I just like to hold it in my hand, and I think it takes, for some reason, I just get the feeling it takes a little bit more of an effort to carry and to have a book with you and to actually read something and hold it in your hands and something online. That's just my personal preference. And so I like this idea of having this book. It's very doable to stick in a briefcase or a purse and maybe take it to adoration or just sit in daily mass a little bit longer afterwards and read one of your reflections.
Mm-hmm. The book is put together so as to be very brief, concise, and to the point. And I agree with you very much. It's great to have a book. Of course, the saints have taught us throughout the ages that it is impossible to grow in the spiritual life without the practice of meditation, right? And spiritual reading, Lectio Divina. And the book is a great aid in meditation. I remember that St. Teresa of Avila used to say that she would always use a book to lead her mm-hmm. into an efficacious meditation, and that conversation with God, which is the essence of prayer, mental prayer.
Right. Yeah, she's one of my favorites. And she also talked about and told her sisters time and time again, if they had issues and they couldn't concentrate, begin again, which I love. And that reminds us that, okay, if we aren't having such a great Lent, then we can begin again. Correct, Father?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. We're called, in a certain sense, to make a new beginning with every new day, right? As we make our morning offering, we try to get closer to God with every passing day. So it's easy to do.
So, Father, you've been busy with the Fathers of Mercy, which is just an incredibly gifted order, and you do missions, and you've traveled around extensively. I know that you're spending a lot of time with your mom right now, but what are you seeing that has changed since you began your priesthood in terms of what the average person, the average believer, is facing? There seems to be a lot of heaviness, a lot of problems in the family, a lot of cultural things that are just really weighing heavy on us. What are you seeing out there?
I have spent the better part of the last 25 years on the road, living in my suitcase, preaching the gospel, preaching parish missions, and I'm sorry to say that everywhere we go today, And I mean everywhere, we're seeing the terrible effects of the great loss of faith in our time. And it seems like every Catholic family has been wounded in this great abandonment of faith, aren't they? And in fact, it seems like every American family is wounded in one way or another. For example, wounded by addiction in one form or another, wounded by drugs or alcohol abuse or sexual abuse, pornography, wounded by bad marriages, family breakup, and all the emotional and psychological devastation that goes with that. You see the families wounded by suicides, crime, violence, and what have you. And everywhere that we go, we meet the parents and the grandparents who agonize over the fact that so many loved ones, family members, sons and daughters, kids and grandkids, have left the church and abandoned the practice of the faith. What we're seeing today, I believe, Teresa, is really a great apostasy, the time of a great abandonment of faith. So we need a spiritual renewal, and that's what our business is.
Amen. Let's take some calls. If you have a question for Father Bill Casey, his latest book, Making a Holy Lent, 40 Meditations to Prepare You for the Church's Holiest Season, not too late. Get a copy. You can have it very quickly. Published by our friends here at EWTN. You can find it at our EWTN Religious Catalog, of course. Just check it out online, EWTN.com/religious catalog. If you have a question for Father Bill, he's here, 877-573-7825. We'll be right back.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine. The untold true story of Mercy Me's Bart Millard and the power of redemption and forgiveness.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him. I didn't think that God could do that.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters March 16th. More information is available at IcanOnlyImagine.com.
Last year's serious drought in Kenya has now become a life-threatening famine in parts of the country, and Catholic leaders are turning to Cross Catholic Outreach for emergency food supplies. I hope you join Cross in this urgent outreach to African priests and nuns and Catholic ministries by funding food shipments and other resources for hungry children and struggling families. You can help. Call 866-765-4280, 866-765-4280, or go to crosscatholic.org/AfricaFamine.
Looking for a warm, sunny place to live and put down roots? Come take a look at Ave Maria, Florida, one of the country's fastest growing communities. It has been named Community of the Year for the past 3 years. Ave Maria offers homes for all ages. Whether you are single, have a family, or looking for a quiet senior living community, it has homes in many price ranges. There is a beautiful Catholic church in the center of town, giving a feel of a European city. And the town offers many big city amenities without compromising the small town atmosphere. Ave Maria is the proud home of Ave Maria University, a flourishing Catholic university, a Catholic K-12 school, and Ave Maria Parish, a Catholic church that offers several daily and weekend masses, along with convenient confession times and adoration. The university and parish life offer many unique opportunities for the town residents. Want to learn more about Ave Maria? Call the Ave Maria New Home and Welcome Center at 888-841-3477 or visit their website at avemaria.com.
Hope your Tuesday is going well. We are so glad you're tuned in to EWTN Global Catholic Radio. For more information on all of our terrific programming, EWTN.com. This particular show, Catholic Connection, one of many co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. You can also check us out online at AveMariaRadio.net. And great to have one of EWTN's own on the phone with us. Making a Holy Lent is the book, the priest, the wonderful Father Bill Casey. 40 Meditations to Prepare for You for the Church's Holiest Season. It's really, I think, very, I keep trying to help people, Father, connect the dots between the beauty and the truth. And even though sometimes we make it so complicated, the simplicity of the church teaching and especially the natural law and why until we get back to that and until we submit. Yeah, we've grown up in an age, and you and I are old enough to remember, when The Wizard of Oz was super popular when it came back out. And the whole thing about surrender, I talk about this in my women's talks that I give, that surrender is seen as a four-letter word when it's just the opposite. But we can pray and have all these meditations all we want, but until we submit to God and put ourselves at the foot of the cross, our lives are not going to change.
Mm-hmm. So true. And one of the most common problems that we find, I'm talking about the Fathers of Mercy, out on the road preaching our missions, is that we so often meet Catholics who have gotten the idea that the church is kind of like a social club, mm-hmm. or a political party where we can kind of change the rules as we go along, you know, make up the rules as we go. You know, one of the things we try to emphasize for people is that what the church teaches and what we believe as Catholics, we hold to be God's definitive revelation to humanity, eternal truth, eternal moral law. It does not change, and it cannot change, because God doesn't change, and the truth doesn't change, and God is the truth. It's as simple as that. And,
right,
and
it is.
Of course,
we
have the fullness of truth in the Catholic faith, and our people need to educate themselves to know what it is and hold to it like a rock.
Well, and if you look out at the culture of what's happening now, whether it be the whole sexual harassment scandal that began, that blew wide open in October in Hollywood with the Harvey Weinstein being at the center of it in the beginning, then it just became wider and wider to include other, you know, areas of the media and the culture and others. And then you look at recently, even this week, and I'm going to be talking about this with Dr. Mark Lakovic from Sacred Heart Major Seminary. I always try to take from the news and the culture, because I know that people are seeing a lot of this stuff, because even though people may be in mass on the weekends, they're hearing one message, and then the rest of the week they're hearing, if they're not listening to us, they're getting all kinds of stuff out there in the secular world. And you see what happened in both Cleveland and San Francisco in these fertility clinics, where they had thousands of embryos that were lost, lives lost, because of a problem with the nitrogen tank. And they say that the church is unreasonable, many will say, in her teachings against in vitro fertilization. But this is what happens when you try to play God. And the church, it makes a lot of sense if we only have eyes to see and ears to hear.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true. And as time goes on, it seems to me, with 2020 hindsight, we can see the beauty and the wisdom, the prophetic truth of Humanae Vitae, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And Pope Paul VI, prophetic words and teaching. We see the beauty and the truth of our Catholic faith in defense of the sanctity of marriage, human sexuality, and human life that is constantly under attack in new ways. It's hard to keep up with it all.
Oh, I know.
But the church is always going to be proven right.
Yeah, and what will they think
of
next?
This is just another example of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. We have Betsy calling in from Ohio on line one. By the way, if you have a question for our guest, Father Bill Casey, he'd love to chat with you, as would yours truly. 877-573-7825, talking about his terrific book, very easy to slip into your briefcase, your backpack, or your pocketbook, as my mother would say, from the East Coast, Making a Holy Lent, 40 Meditations to Prepare You for the Church's Holiest Season. Hey, Betsy, how are you this morning? What's your question for Father Bill?
I'm okay. I'm not Catholic. I just actually have started listening to Catholic radio.
Great! We're glad you're listening. Thank you.
Yes, but I guess my question is, I've been listening to you talk about Lent, and what I tried to do is, you know, repent and believe and seeking out Jesus more, and I've been using this prayer book I have, The Divine Hours, and trying to pray three times a day, using that and trying to grow. But then, I also deal with pain, chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday I didn't get my three times in, and then I become discouraged. And do you have any just general encouragement for me?
Well, let me first of all say, Betsy, that thank you for listening. We're glad you're tuned in. We hope you stay tuned to Catholic Radio. And thank you for being so honest and transparent. And let me tell you what, sister, all of us fall off, myself included. And it has not been a very fruitful Lent for me, probably because I've been so busy and doing, my work and getting my new book out and that. So I totally identify with you in terms of falling off the Lenten wagon, as we say. But Father Bill, I'm sure, will have some encouraging words for both of us. Father?
Mm-hmm. One thing I would say to you is always
try to be faithful to your spiritual exercises as best that you possibly can. You know, you're only human, and you know that there are going to be busy days, difficult days, hectic days. Maybe you won't be able to spend as much time in prayer as you want to. But remember, God has that great love for you, and he is so very delighted with everything that you offer to him, especially the offering of yourself, the total gift of yourself, sometimes expressed in the offering of your own suffering. But I think it's important that in our Lenten journey, in our spiritual life in general, we try to avoid the temptation to give in to discouragement.
Right.
I remember the great dogmatic theologian, Father John Harden, used to say that in all his 60 years in the priesthood, one thing was very clear to him. He said that it is that the devil tempts good people and bad people in different ways, right? He used to say that the devil tempts bad people primarily by means of presumption. Your sins are okay, keep on doing them. But that won't work with good people, right? The devil tempts good people primarily by means of discouragement, right? Mm-hmm. He's trying to drag you down. Sometimes we don't recognize discouragement is a form of temptation, but it certainly is, because if you give in to it, it leads to a kind of spiritual lethargy.
Right.
Yes.
Right? It'll drag you down. It gets you depressed. And see, that may be what you're dealing with right now, but don't ever get discouraged. Remember, God is always in command, and he loves everything that you do for him. And, you know, he has that plan for your life that is going to end in eternal glory if you just cooperate with the graces that he wants to give you. So be joyful, and, you know, let that joy shine before others, and don't get discouraged.
And also, Betsy, I would just encourage her to say that everyone struggles, and everybody's got something. So don't think you're alone in this. And the fact that you had the courage to call and be very transparent shows that you are very dedicated to the Lord and that you want to grow in your relationship with him. And I would highly recommend getting a copy of this book, because it's something really that you can add to your daily meditations, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So thanks for listening, and stay tuned to us, because we have all kinds of great programming that can help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. So appreciate it, including, of course, tools like this one. Our guest, Father Bill Casey, his book, Making a Holy Lent, 40 Meditations to Prepare You for the Church's Holiest Season. Thanks, Father. God bless you. And up next, Dr. Mark Latkovic on a Tuesday. Stay tuned.
March 14th, the very day Red Rose rescuers are sentenced for their defense of the unborn. Let us stand for life. Join the pro-life pickets March 14th. Picket the Women's Center in West Bloomfield and Northland Family Planning in Sterling Heights, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Support the pro-lifers who will be sentenced that day, but it's most important to show the world human life is sacred. For all the details, see prolifesociety.com.
Finding a doctor who respects your faith can be hard. Consider Emmaus Health, providing primary care and mental health services for the entire family. Now, in conjunction with St. Joseph Mercy Health System, Emmaus is proud to introduce Dr. Steve Hickner, an OBGYN who is NAPRO-trained to manage infertility. Call 734-930-4020. Visit our website at emmaushealth.org or come visit us at Domino's Farms Lobby L. Faith-inspired, dignity-affirming health care. Emmaus Health.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives. Smart investing and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Holy Spirit Roman Catholic School is the number one elementary school in the Diocese of Lansing in language arts and mathematics. Their children pray every day. Located off US 23 south of Brighton, take exit 55. Holy Spirit is founded on the belief that they must educate the minds, bodies, and souls of children through faith and academics. Don't miss the open house for pre-kindergarten and kindergarten on April 21st from noon to 3. More details at HolySpiritRCS.org.
Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, coast to coast and around the globe on EWTN. It is good to have Dr. Mark Lakovic on the phone. Know him well from, of course, our amazing Sacred Heart Major Seminary in the Archdiocese of Detroit. He has a very long and impressive resume, suffice it to say. He is a professor of moral and systematic theology at Sacred Heart in Detroit and writes and speaks quite frequently about issues pertaining to church teaching, and also has written some very good pieces and opinion pieces as well. And we brought him on this morning to help us understand more clearly and more deeply why the church teaches what she teaches. As Father Bill was just saying, we can look out into the news and into the world and we can see church teaching proven correct over and over and over again. We saw that, of course, in the whole Time's Up and Me Too movement, where talking about the dignity of the human person, as in women not being respected. And what did Pope Paul VI tell us back 50 years ago with Humana Vitae? And now we see, again, another example of why the church is so specific and protective of the dignity of the human person, with not just one but two stories involving the destruction of human life, thousands of embryos lost in two fertility clinics, Cleveland and San Francisco. So, Mark, I've been trying to really use my show on my Facebook page, as I always do, to educate and to draw from these stories in the news to help people understand what the church teaches, because I think this area, in vitro fertilization, is one of those things, like Humana Vitae and the church's teaching regarding artificial contraception, will say, oh, the church is so unreasonable and cruel, and yet we see this happening, and then this is an opportunity for us to explain that, no, this is about a loving God who has the best in mind for us. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Your thoughts, first of all, on these two stories so close together.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Teresa. You know, both of these stories coming together so close in time, I just find it ironic that we're seeing this in the same year that we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Humana Vitae,
right,
which, as you were saying, warned us of all of these terrible consequences that would come about if contraception became widely used. And I really see this particular issue, as well as a number of others, really having their roots in the push for contraception. And I see it as this desire to have absolute dominion
control
over life.
Dominion, yep.
Control, exactly. And once you have that, then it becomes very easy. Once you take that step of having sex without babies to have babies without sex, so to speak, and so you get in vitro fertilization, which we used to refer to as test tube babies.
Right.
But in vitro sounds a little more, I don't know, technical or something. It doesn't have the brave new world sound, I guess, of test tube babies anymore. And so I see a straight line from contraception to abortion to in vitro fertilization to the kinds of really bizarre things that we're doing now, as we saw with these two stories, freezing not only of eggs, but also human embryos, tiny human lives that are in this sort of suspended animation, and people having absolute control over them, really treating them as property or commodities. And so I see this terrible loss of life as an absolute evil. But at the same time, the real scandal for me, in one sense, is the fact that we're even doing this. This isn't something that's good that's gone bad. This is already something that is bad, even though it has the appearance of being pro-life, as you were kind of indicating a few minutes ago. It's not really pro-life. It's really pro-death in many ways.
And there's so much more in this as well, because what a lot of people don't understand, because many are not all that familiar with it, they know that the church is against this. They may have a general sense, and there's a lot of people who may not even be aware of that, although I don't know how, because there's been a lot of discussion on it in recent years. But there's this whole aspect of thinking, first of all, thinking we have control. I was watching some of these clips in preparation for our interview this morning and listening to this couple. You can understand as devastated this one couple in Ohio who has started this class action lawsuit. They had a press conference just the other day, and they're saying there's mm-hmm. got to be a better way to control this. And I'm thinking, you can't control it. You are not the author of life. And I don't care how many safeguards you put in this, these mechanisms where these lives are held in, as you said, and basically it's not going to work. You're not in control. And it's all about, the whole thing, Mark, goes back to not submitting to the authority of God, doesn't it?
I think so. And Humanavite warned us of that. Blessed Paul VI said the same thing. When we ignore the law of God, this is the kind of things, these are the kinds of things that happen. And as you said, you feel terrible for these couples. They go through this primarily to try to overcome
infertility. Right.
But there are other alternatives to this. You have organizations like the Paul VI
Dr. Hilger's, right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah. In Omaha. You have other options. And so, as you said, once you go down that road of trying to have absolute control, this is when things fall apart.
Go ahead. I was just going to just reintroduce you in case folks are just tuning in and they want to ask a question, because this is a very, very important teaching. And as you said, very important in light of the 50th anniversary of Pope Paul VI, Blessed Pope Paul VI, Humana Vitae. Dr. Mark Latkovic on the phone with us from Sacred Heart Major Seminary in the Archdiocese of Detroit, professor of moral and systematic theology there at Sacred Heart, where he has been teaching since 1990. And a lot of what people don't know about this as well, Mark, and this is where God comes in, because his plan is always the best plan. It's where he comes in again. This is very bad for us on a number of levels. Of course, obviously spiritually and having to do with understanding that this is why the church teaches that this is wrong, but it's very bad physically for women. It's very dangerous, and that isn't discussed, not to mention the fact that this industry, and it is an industry, is very, very loosey-goosey in terms of any regulations.
That's right. Well, I was just going to say before that a lot of people want to put up what I think is just sort of a smokescreen and say, we're going to regulate things, we're going to have this process, we're going to have these rules, and that's really what a lot of modern morality is all about. This is what I tell my students. It's all about process. It's not really about looking at the substance of what we're talking about, the content of the choice. It's just about dressing it up so that we have a process in place where, how could this happen? Well, we have rules that are in place, and so maybe the rules were broken. We have to go back and look at the rules, the regulations. And the problem isn't the rules and the regulations in most cases, like with this industry, as you were saying. It's really what we're doing. It's a non-starter. Once you start creating human life in the laboratory, producing it, not procreating it, but producing it, you're going to have these kinds of things. These bad consequences, but the acts themselves, the means by which we're bringing these children into the world, are immoral. Not the child itself. The child itself has great dignity. This is what I think is often difficult for people to understand. They see couples having children through these means, and so how could the church be against this? This seems so pro-life, but again, the church goes back not only to the end, but the means. Both have to be morally upright for the act, for the whole process to be morally upright.
Yeah, I'm reading from, I think, is a really clear and easy to understand document from the USCCB. It's called Begotten, Not Made, and it's really well written, and I've posted it on my Facebook page. They say one reproductive, they're talking about overall teaching on reproductive technology, one reproductive technology what the church has clearly and unequivocally judged to be immoral is in vitro fertilization, IVS. Unfortunately, most Catholics are not aware of the church's teaching and do not know that IVS is immoral, and some have used it in attempting to have children. If a couple is unaware that the procedure is immoral, they are not subjectively guilty of sin. Children conceived through this procedure are children of God and are loved by their parents as they should be. Like all children, regardless of their circumstances, of their conception and birth, they should be loved, cherished, and cared for. Then it goes on to say the immorality of conceiving children through IVF can be difficult to understand and accept because the man and the woman involved are usually married and trying to overcome a medical problem or infertility in their marriage. Yet the procedure does violence to human dignity and to the Marriage Act and should be avoided. But why? And then it goes into a very good but simple explanation as to why this is immoral. But again, the children that come from this way, this particular means, are still children of God.
That's right. Well, this was a phrase, begotten, not made, that my late professor, William E. May, who you might have had on your show over the years, I'm not sure, but we pray this, obviously, in the Creed. We profess this in the Creed. And he would always say, just as Christ was begotten, not made, so too human beings are to be begotten, not made, not produced in the laboratory. Because anytime we produce something, the producer is always superior to what is produced. And so children are equal in dignity to their parents. And so the means have to have a fit, so to speak, with what it is we're doing, what it is we're bringing about, what good we're seeking, and what is a more ultimate good than human life, at least in this life.
Do you think we're becoming more aware of amazing doctors like Dr. Hilgers and his work at the Pope Paul VI Institute in Naprotechnology?
I think yes and no. I think through modern technology, which, as we're seeing here this morning and in the news, cuts both ways, but through social media and things like this, I think the word is getting around. I think in a different world, Dr. Hilgers would have won a Nobel Prize already for medicine.
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately, he probably won't, but he should. But I do think they're making a difference in the lives of couples. But our priests, our deacons, our catechists, our bishops, they have to be preaching and teaching about these things. I think for too long, Catholics didn't hear anything about IVF. They didn't hear anything about contraception, you know, little pockets here and there.
Right.
And so, as you were saying, couples go down this road, many of them in good faith, right? They're trying to overcome this
right.
this terrible, evil in their lives that they see, you know, infertility. And so, by then they've gone too far down the road. And as you said, it's expensive. It's a difficult process for the woman, on and on. And then, as we see with these stories, oftentimes human lives are lost.
Did you notice how the news stories, too, Mark, are not looking at this overall issue? They're just looking at the who, what, where, when, why, and how. They're not getting into the fact that these are, they're calling them eggs and embryos or tissue. They're again, treating
tissue,
it, you know, from
yeah.
a very removed perspective.
Yes. That was the first thing, actually, that caught my eye. Eggs, tissue, and embryos. Now, it's one thing to freeze tissue. You can freeze a somatic cell, a body cell. You can freeze lots of things. But when we're talking about a human embryo, not a fertilized egg, but a human embryo, you're talking about a separate, unique human life, a child of God with a soul. And so these articles are often intentionally, they're vague or they're misleading. Sometimes it's just ignorance, right? But tissue is one thing. When you're talking a human embryo, that's something totally different. But the other thing that caught my eye, too, again, to reiterate what I was saying earlier, was this idea of scandal. There's really not a scandal. The scandal is that we're doing this
right.
technology.
Mm-hmm.
And the loss of human life happens all the time. They implant too many embryos, and so you have to so-called selectively reduce them. This is part of the whole process of in vitro fertilization. So we're seeing it in these stories. You know, it's on a mass level, right? You're talking thousands of human lives. It's just terrible. But this is part of the everyday practice of many of these clinics.
Well, what would you suggest before we wrap up, Mark, in terms of reading? I just mentioned, of course, A Begotten Not Made from the USCCB. What else do you think would be helpful for folks?
I think the writings of my colleague, Janet Smith.
Yeah, I recommended that yesterday, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. And I think my late professor, William E. May, wrote beautifully on this, and his works are still available from our Sunday Visitor. His book, Catholic Bioethics and the Gift of Human Life, is very accessible. May was a very clear writer and a faithful son of the Church, and did excellent work in this area. And then the National Catholic Bioethics Center.
Oh, yes, with Father Tad. Yeah, Paholchik.
Paholchik.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All the ethicists there remaining faithful to the magisterium of the Church. And so, and the Paul VI.
Yes, Humana Vitae.
Institute. Yeah. So you've got resources out there. So we just have to spread the word.
Well, working on it, and I know you are too, at Sacred Heart and Elsewhere. Dr. Mark Lakovic, thank you so much, Professor of Moral and Systematic Theology at Sacred Heart Major Seminary. Very proud that he's right in our own backyard here, and everyone knows about Sacred Heart. You know, Mark, I always joke, I get two questions when I go out of town. Do I know Father John Ricardo, and do I know anybody at Sacred Heart Major Seminary? So I told Father John I'm going to get a sandwich board that one side says, yes, I know Father John Ricardo, and the other side says, yes, I know all about Sacred Heart. And so then I can just get those questions out of the way before I speak. But that's a good problem to have. Right. Thanks, Mark, and continue all the great work. Dr. Mark Latkovic, Professor of Moral and Systematic Theology at Sacred Heart. We'll be right back on a Tuesday morning. Stay tuned.
A Call to Mary is sponsoring a Lenten meditation entitled Our Lady of Sorrows, the Martyrdom of Mary. This special presentation on the sorrows and sufferings of Jesus and Mary will be held on Saturday, March 24th, at St. Cyril Methodius Slovak Catholic Church in Sterling Heights. Speakers are Father Ben Lutke, Father Robert Slayton, Father Lattice Sizek, Dr. Robert Fastigi, and Mother Mary Lucia. For more information, please visit acalltomary.org. That's acalltomary.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Ave Maria Radio invites you to feast on the joy of fasting this Lenten season and all year long. Fast from complaining, feast on appreciation. Fast from negatives, feast on affirmatives. Fast from unrelenting pleasures, feast on unceasing prayer. Fasting is a part of true Christian life. It liberates us from the world as we grow closer to Christ.
How are you preparing for Easter? Learn more by listening to Ave Maria Radio.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Never forget, the Catholic Church is a pillar and foundation of truth. That's a direct scripture verse from St. Paul. Thank you very much to Timothy. We'll talk to you tomorrow along with Joan Lewis and Father Joseph Mary from EWTN. Have a beautiful day. Talk to you on Wednesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you missed a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
I'd like to recommend my dentist, Dr. Maddie, and his practice, Advanced Dentistry. When I needed a new dentist, I remembered I'd been hearing about him for years on Ave Maria Radio. I had recommendations from friends, but decided if Dr. Maddie supports Catholic Radio, he must share my Catholic values, and I wanted to support him. Dr. Maddie's degree is from Tufts University. Dr. Maddie really has a state-of-the-art, full-service dental practice, and I know he specializes in dental implants. I'm very happy with his caring, patient, professional service, and also the results of my Invisalign braces, which he provided. Dr. Maddie works with me to keep my costs low rather than have to carry dental insurance. Try Advanced Dentistry. I know you'll like Dr. Maddie very much. That's why I offered this, my personal testimony.
Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Our topics during Cresta in the Afternoon toggle between church teaching and then using that teaching to shine a light on our world. We'll look at Christ and culture, church and world, religion and public life, from abortion to Zechariah and everything in between. Biblical criticism, Hollywood productions, academic debate, family and